Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In the end, it was a loss for Billy Sutton, but it was a loss to be proud of. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about what was and what's next in the 2018 South Dakota gubernatorial campaign. You can find his blog, on the other hand, at sdpb.org/Wooster. He joins us now on the phone. Hi, Kevin. Welcome back.
It's always good to be back, Lori. So you're better organized now because of this work?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I have
good
some.
For you.
I have a few things to still work on.
I have so many things to work on because I'm the least organized, least disciplined worker. I work hard. I just don't work very smart a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'm more focused now. I understand focus in a way that I never understood before. But I still have some project management, organizational work to do. There's a lot going on at work.
You got to get, you know, though, he touched on something. My dad believed if you had a problem, get up earlier and work later. And and there were certain things that couldn't solve, but a lot of things they could. And that, I think he was touching on that. You need to challenge yourself more. And that was kind of what my dad was saying. Challenge yourself more.
Well, this was a challenging election. The Democrats definitely put forth a good challenger in Billy Sutton this time.
Yeah, he was as I say in there, he was really an extraordinary candidate. He was one of the, he was one of the candidates that stands out for me over the last 40-some years. I think I wrote my first political story in the 74 campaign, and there really hasn't been one like him in my experience in so many different ways, and obviously starting with that amazing life story and the way he's persevered and moved on with his life, but just his nature and his demeanor and his sort of moderate, regardless of what any of those nutty attack ads said about him being a wild liberal, clearly he's not, never has been. And all of that just made him the person that maybe could have done what he almost did, and that's win that governor's race.
Let's talk about Governor-elect Kristi Noem and the final push. She's a sprinter, is what I was told. She's going to bring it out at the end. And at the end, she had Vice President Pence. She had Governor Dugard. She had Senator Thune. Brought out the big guns at the end.
She is tough, and she is she's got strength, and she's determined, and she's smart about politics, and she will do some things that, frankly, I wouldn't be comfortable doing in advertising myself. I don't think so. I've never been in that position, but I don't think so. And then she's got what I called in the column today the GOP posse, which is U.S. senators here and elsewhere, and the president and the vice president, and you know, to say nothing of the 98,000 registered voter edge that she began with, and 44 years of tradition, and people, as I touched on, Republicans who in some cases, and I mentioned one in the book or in the column, wasn't book length, but some have been, who couldn't bring themselves to vote for Kristi for a number of reasons, including the Marty Jackley primary, but others as well, but also couldn't bring themselves to go out and publicly endorse Billy, and ended up in some instances voting for or working for Kristi at the end just because there was loyalty, they were asked to. And as I said, that's what Republicans do really well in this state. They fall in line behind the flag, the GOP flag.
And I want to talk a little bit about this notion of sort of demonizing, because you mentioned in the column that, you know, Billy Sutton can't embrace the big guns on the Democratic Party side because he's already trying to distance himself from them. And the only time you see reference to sort of, Democratic leaders is in the attack ads against him. So what about this notion, and you talked about it a little bit last week, that to just be liberal, to be a supporter of the Democratic Party, is sort of a hot potato at all in South Dakota?
Pretty tough, yeah. It's pretty tough, and I think he is being who he is. I mean, I think he was born and raised to be the moderate Democrat that he is, and so I don't think he was personally changing himself very, shape shifting very much. Certainly, I assume on some issues a little bit, but But if you were really the liberal that the nomads say Billy Sutton is, you would certainly have to run far from that in South Dakota, and especially these days. And, you know, a friend of mine asked me, where was Dasha? Why didn't he step up? Why didn't Johnson, you know, come in and help? And I said, you know, Dasha hasn't really been a player in South Dakota for 14 years, and he lost.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure he helped as much as he could, but that's not like calling in Mike Pence to a red state, or Donald Trump to a red state, or Lindsey Graham to a red state, or having your own senators stand up for you. And Johnson was generally a more moderate Democrat, or perceived as that, although he got more strongly partisan as in his last term or so. But again, I don't know that that's who Billy wanted, and we didn't see him, so it must not have been.
Sorry, Kev, I'm going to jump in here because there's a clip I want to play for you, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, but you've probably seen it, and a lot of people are talking about Dan Lederman, who's chair of the South Dakota Republican Party, and some comments he made at that Pence rally to South Dakota Republicans, and so we'll listen first, and then we'll sort of discuss.
Okay.
When I became state chair 2 years ago, I knew we were in for a fight. And you know who I brought here? I brought David Horowitz to South Dakota so he could tell us. You know what he told me? He said, Dan, the only thing the radical liberals understand right now is a punch in the mouth. It's true. And that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to give out that message. We've been trying to get everybody excited. But what did the Democrats do? They took our message. And they put up their candidates. They said, no, we're conservative.
That's Dan Lederman talking to GOP faithful right before the gubernatorial election. And a lot of people are talking about that notion of, you know, liberals only understand a punch in the mouth and the rhetoric and where it comes from originally. And I'm wondering if you had some thoughts on, is that just political theater and metaphor, and that's what we do, and then when we win, we talk about unity? Or is there something really going on here about the language that we're using to describe our opponents?
Well, that's Trump language. I mean, that's Trump language. Dan Lederman, that's Trump language. To me, that's not South Dakota language, and I would certainly put my credentials as South Dakotan up against Dan Lederman's any day. And this is the Republican Party, is the party of Trump, and you can dance around it all you want. It's the party of rude language. It's the party of mean-spirited behavior and treatment of others. And frankly, some of that bled into the Noam Sutton campaign. And it's nothing to be proud of. I happen to get along well with Kristi Noem on a personal level. I've covered her. I respect her for many things. I hope someday she'll lie in bed or sit with a cup of coffee and regret some of the advertising she ran and some of the things she said, which were beyond distortion. They were just lies.
How do we move forward? Because both both Billy Sutton and Kristi Noem said in their speeches the night of the election, this is all about unity. Billy said, I'm willing to do whatever, you know, to help Kristi be a successful governor. Kristi spoke accordingly as well. But this was one of the positives of the election was how close it was, and one of the negatives was how close it was, which means a lot of people in the state are divided over who the next governor should be. How do you bring that together and move that conversation forward?
Good question. You know, I think that it can happen. And as I said in the column, just because you've used distorting ads doesn't mean you're going to run your governor's job that way, that you're going to govern that way. And it doesn't have to be that way. I think that when you're supposed to win and you're behind and you get desperate, you do what Dan Lederman says to do, punch people in the mouth. And I think that's unfortunate, and I think there's a line that you cross, and I think it was crossed sometimes. And I don't know how that'll work out. I mean, I think it's great for him to reach out, and he did a little of the distortion too, but he didn't do as much of it, and he couldn't do it as well as they did it, didn't do it as well. Well meaning effectively. So I don't know. I don't know where you go. I mean, I had people tell me that they were ready to vote for Billy, a rancher that I know, very conservative, loved Billy until the Kavanaugh hearing and until he was started seeing people that were yelling at Ted Cruz and not serving members of the administration. And he told me, I can't vote for a Democrat now after that.
And I heard someone else say they were going to vote for Billy, but they just didn't want to give the Democrats that national headline. And so they voted for Kristi at the end, even though they had nothing against him. They just didn't want to see South Dakota's elected a Democrat governor, a Democratic governor, because of how it would have played out in the national news. So there's really something going on that really has nothing to do with South Dakota and everything to do with South Dakota.
Yeah, and it, it'll put responsibility on Christie to reach out and to the other side to respond in a productive way.
SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog on sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, much more to talk about. We'll see you next week.
Okay, take care.